This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Wednesday. Happy Hump Day. You have finally made it, and we have a bunch we have to get to tonight. Yes, they've introduced articles of impeachment for Trump. Well, we'll discuss that at some point in time. $2 trillion in corruption, not waste, corruption. We'll discuss it. Democrats are still being pressed about lying about the Biden thing. Not good. Pete Hegseth is doing amazing things, cutting generals. You're not going to believe who's winning currently the 2028 primary. Bad news, Germany's building another large army, and I defend Democrats for falling asleep in Congress. All that, emails, and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. And we have Selena Zito. She's going to give us some... How are people on the ground feeling so far about the Trump presidency, the GOP House? We have Brandon Weikert, because there's all kinds of foreign policy stuff. What's Trump doing overseas, Saudi Arabia? What's he doing? Let's find out. All that and more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to start out with something. I'm going to warn you right off the bat. This is really, really heavy. But I feel... obligated. As soon as I saw it, I feel obligated to talk about it, to bring it up, because here's what happens for those of us who are interested in politics. Whether you love it, maybe you're love interested or maybe you're hate interested, you pay attention to it, and I'm glad you do. It's important. I told my wife this morning, I kind of hate it. I do. It's all so ugly and gross. I kind of hate it, but I have to stay interested because my country matters to me a lot. So we have, I'm glad you're interested. But those of us who pay attention, every day is what? It's new headlines, it's new scandals, it's Republicans saying this, it's Democrats saying that. And it can almost become, if you allow it, I know it's happened to me before, it can almost become kind of a show you watch. Does that make sense? You turn on the television and there are the characters. There's the bad guys and there's the good guys. And he's saying this and he's saying that. It just becomes a television show. Not necessarily personal, not necessarily intimate, but a television show. And so we're going to discuss this extremely heavy, heavy, brutal story briefly, and then we're going to move on. But it snapped me awake this morning, I'll tell you that much. I was actually eating breakfast tacos when I read the story, dug into the story more, and it really, really made me sit up in my chair and once again realize the stakes of what we argue about and what we're fighting for every single day. There was a story, you probably forget it, and it's understandable if you forgot it because it was a while ago, but there was a story out of Colorado, Aurora, Colorado, and, well... I'll play the local news report, at least some of it, and what happened to this teenage girl last July. Here it was.
Caitlin Weaver was killed by a Jeep barreling through a residential neighborhood, the speed limit 45. The driver, investigators say, was doing more than 90. The suspect, who had kids in the car with him, was 15. He was not only driving illegally, he was in the country illegally. Under DA Amy Padden, the teen, who faced up to 2 years in youth corrections for vehicular homicide, was offered 2 years probation if he pled guilty. No financial liability either, despite nearly $1 million in medical bills. The Jeep was uninsured, and the juvenile's mom says he took it without permission, so she isn't responsible either. An organ donor, Caitlin Weaver, continues to live on in others, while the person who killed her lives free.
Caitlin Weaver is her name, and I apologize. I don't know even know if I should read it because I don't want to abuse her name. You know, it's not what I'm trying to do, but she was 24 years old. 24 years old, and I wouldn't recommend you go look it up, but you're welcome to if you want. There's video of her getting absolutely blasted, T-boned by this illegal driving 90 in a 45. Just destroyed her, right? And I'm going to play something else for you. And this something else I'm playing right now is Rear Admiral Pete Buttigieg. He's going to run for president. I don't know whether or not he'll be the nominee. Who knows? But he's definitely going to run. But this is Pete Buttigieg defending the gang member Trump deported to El Salvador. Here's what he said.
They're saying like, oh, well, this guy, you know, he's a criminal. The whole point is that no one person, least of all, no one politician, gets to decide that you're a criminal. Who decides?
Yeah, but playing war games, a bunch of people have already decided he's a criminal. But Amy Padden was elected. She was elected as the new DA in this area in Colorado, Arapahoe County. She was elected comfortably. The voters went out to the polls and they said, well, the people who cared enough to participate in the election, they went out to the polls and they found the crazy communist Democrat and they elected her. She was elected by 15 percentage points. 15 percentage points. So don't think that it was a near run thing. The people in this area overwhelmingly went to the polls and picked the open borders, open jail Democrat, and now an illegal who ended a life, destroyed others. He will be home playing Xbox, couple years on probation, and will go on to live for God knows how long, totally free, while a family is decimated beyond belief. The reason I bring up this story to open up the show tonight is not to bring you down. That's really genuinely not what I want to do right now. And I swear on my life, I'm not carrying it into two segments. We are going to move on. I bring up this story because it jarred me awake this morning that we are not watching a show. We're not playing a game. The consequences of voting Democrat in the year 2025 is people die. Families are destroyed. Democrats kill people. Voting for Democrats kills people. There are consequences for our actions, all of us. We will all face consequences and have faced consequences for our actions. The consequences of voting Democrat is things will be destroyed and burned down around you. People will die. 24-year-old girls will be massacred, raped, murdered. That is the consequence of voting Democrat. And that is what we're up against because there are places in this country that overwhelmingly want that. And we'll continue to do that over and over and over again. And they're not sorry. They're not going to back off. They're not going to stop. The people who went out and voted for that filthy communist to let this guy out scot-free, they will go out and vote for the next communist and then the next communist and then the next communist after that. And this is what we are up against. We are in a power war that will determine lives, whether people will live or whether people will die. It's not idiot Republicans in Congress or idiot Democrats in Congress. It's not just the TV show. It's not making fun of Chuck Schumer or screaming about the low T GOP. It's not just that. People die and families are destroyed when you vote Democrat because Democrats bring death. Democrats today are evil, demonic communists, and death will follow them wherever they go, and we can never stop. We are not playing a game. 24-year-old girl. Imagine standing at the funeral as your 24-year-old girl in a casket is lowered into the ground because Democrat savages let an illegal in the country, and knowing those same Democrat savages made sure he wasn't punished for it. That is what we're up against. Maybe you're tired and burnt out. I get it. Take a day off and get back in the fight. This kind of thing wakes me up. We're not playing a game. It's deadly serious. All right? Sorry to make it heavy. We're moving off of it. Let's do other things, shall we? In fact, let's talk about something wonderful, something happening in the military. Before we do that, though, let's do something else for our children. Something else wonderful. What's better than a free education? I mean, don't we all hold hopes and dreams? Doesn't every parent, I should say, hold dreams of their kid, what, getting a scholarship one day? I'd love if I could get my kid a free education. Well, I can't get your kid a scholarship. I can't get mine one either. But I can get you some free education from Hillsdale College. Because Hillsdale is offering more than 40 free online courses for people who listen to my show. Maybe your interest is biblical, Book of Genesis, stuff like that. Maybe it's constitutional. You want to learn about the Constitution. Maybe it's more ancient, Rome, things like that. Hillsdale will teach you for free about that. For free. There's not a cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We're done with all the ugliness. Actually, I mean, we're not done with all the ugliness because Chris is still here, but you understand what I mean. We're done with that heavy story to open the show. Let's talk about something wonderful. Selena Zito is going to join us about 10 minutes. So now we'll find out what's the country think. What does middle America, I should say, think about Trump, Congress, Democrats, so many other things. It's going to be a huge show for you tonight. Now let's discuss something absolutely wonderful. Wonderful. And it's something that should make you stand up and cheer. First, before we get to what Pete Hegseth is doing with the military, let me explain why I'm so passionate about that. People think I'm passionate about what's happening in our military, about the communist rot inside of our military. They think I'm passionate about it because I served 4 years in the Marine Corps. I'm a Marine. That is not why. It is actually not why. I guess that probably contributes to it, but it is not why. I am passionate about our military. It's not even my patriotism, if I'm being honest. It's because I love history. And I'm a dude, when I study history, when I read about it, watch things about it, talk about it with you, oftentimes it falls to war and destruction and invasion and things like that. And they're the worst stories you'll ever read in your life. When your country loses a major war, the things normal people go through are unimaginable. Unimaginable. Just imagine your entire town gone. Rubble. Your family gone. They were under a bomb. Burned to death, just horrible stuff. You live out your days with wheelbarrows full of bricks that used to be your house. Like this is what it's like when your military cannot stop people from coming to kill you. That's what happens. And so what's happened in the United States military, as we've talked about many times, is, well, communists believe in control. And they believe in using all the power they have at their disposal for political reasons, for their own power. They don't ever, because nothing is viewed through the lens of patriotism. And they look at the United States military as, hey, there's 3 million people And I can make them do whatever I want. In fact, I can do whatever I want with it. If I want to make them get solar-powered tanks, I can do it. If I can make them gay the whole thing up, I can do it. If I can put in firm white people suck policies, I'll do that too. I'll do whatever I want. And look, it's been happening for a while. Clinton started it and stuff like that. But Barack Obama, because he was just better, sharper, he was a more worthy enemy than all the others. He took that and he ramped it up into overdrive. And what Barack Obama did was he took the leadership and he cleaned them out. If he even sniffed conservatism on you, you were retired and gone. He just replaced north of 100 flag officers. And since that time, remember, he had 8 years, and then Trump didn't dump him, and didn't dump even close to all of them, and then we have 4 years of Biden. So what is that? Do the math. That's 16 years of all those dirty communists spreading their communism down. It's that poison's gone down, and it's now a matter of policy in places like our military academies and otherwise. It's been devastating, devastating. And I said, Before Trump even was sworn in, I screamed that the cuts must be deep, deep in the military. I told you when it came to the academies, I'd fire everyone. I'd fire the parking lot attendant. It has to be that deep. Now, I'm not naive. I know they're not going to fire the parking lot attendant, and I know they're not going to fire everyone, nor are they really able to do so. But this came out today. Pete Hegseth has a new policy. Less generals and more GIs. And they are planning to cut more than 120 high-ranking military officer positions across active duty and National Guard forces. Maybe on its surface that doesn't mean anything to you. What, they're just going to fire a bunch of generals and admirals? It's everything. Not only for the dirty commies who are about to be removed, but it sends a message to everyone else in the military, both the guys on the ground and the officer corps, that there's no more commie gook, no more nothing. We are here to kill people and blow things up, and anything else will not be tolerated. You will be gone. Is this all we need? Of course not. But this is a big, bold, drastic step, because they know what's coming after this. Chris, you go ahead and write this one down, even though it's the most easily predictable thing in the world. Every one of these dork generals and admirals, they're all going to run to CNN, and they're going to drape themselves in the flag and try to appeal to your patriotism and try to tell you how devastating it is that I'm a general. I fought in Iraq, even though I never left the air conditioning. They're going to try. They're going to run a propaganda campaign. But this is a good thing, and it's something you should celebrate. All right. You should also celebrate that Selena Zito is going to come on in about 10 minutes, tell us about what's going on in the Rust Belt, and you should celebrate protecting your retirement. If you've already called Gold Co., that's a reason to celebrate. I rest easier at night knowing that I have fortified my retirement with things that last. They last through tariffs, they last through recessions, they last through nations. Precious metals will outlive you, me, countries, forever. That's how long it lasts. Gold Co. is the one people trust the most because they've been doing this for a long time. Numerous awards won. People trust them. They will get gold or silver as part of your retirement. So no matter what happens with the market, you don't lose everything you've busted your butt for your whole life. They'll give you a free copy of their 2025 Gold and Silver Kit if you want. Call them. 855-817-GOLD. Or you can go to jessielikesgold.com, which I find hilarious because I actually do really like gold. But jessielikesgold.com. I probably don't like it as much as Chris, but you understand what I mean. jessielikesgold.com. Selena Zito joins us next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. And of course, a Wednesday made all that more wonderful because my friend, one of the great writers in America, Selena Zito, joins me now. You know Selena Zito. She's the one who spends her time in the Rust Belt talking to normal people. In fact, she has a book out. Hey, Selena, what's this book called?
It's called Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and winning the America's Heartland and how he won America's Heartland.
Now, where were you on that fateful day? Because that's part of the reason I wanted you to come on, Selena, because I actually thought about that. I was thinking about Butler again today and how much we don't know and just how incredible that moment was that we were inches away from losing the president. And out of respect, we did lose someone else, got shot in the head. Where were you?
So I was in an area by the stage. It's called the Buffer. The Buffer is basically the place where usually photojournalists are and security, Secret Service. They just happened to put me in there along with my daughter because I was supposed to fly with President Trump right after the rally and interview him on our way to Bedminster. And I happened to see him just minutes before he went out on the stage that day because he just wanted to say hi and see how I was doing and tell me he was looking forward to our interview. He also commented on my hair. He always tells me I have the best hair in America and asked about my grandchildren. Gave me a little hug and said, okay, I'll see you out there, Zito. And I've interviewed, if people have heard me on your show before, I've interviewed President Trump almost 24 times. And there's a running joke between the two of us since the first time I interviewed him. And he always says, hey, you want to go out there with me? And I'm like, no, I don't. So he said it that day as well. And so that's how I ended up being just 4 feet away from him when the shots went off. They went right over my head.
Selena, I don't have to ask you to do this well because you do it well. But can you describe what that moment was like? Was it instantly that you knew what was happening? Were you totally shocked? Where was it?
You never know how you're going to react in situations like that. What can be situations of terror and panic? I always wonder, am I going to freak out? Am I going to be calm? I was remarkably calm. So much so that I still haven't really reacted to what happened yet, even in the process of writing the book. But in that moment, I'm a gun owner, come from a gun-owning family. I knew exactly what those four shots were. And I don't know if it's because I'm a reporter or not, but I didn't immediately duck down. I was looking around to see what was happening and how do I cover this. I'm understanding that this is history and it is my job to record it, you know, and report it accurately. I saw on the president the blood streak across his face immediately, but I also saw him kneel down. So I knew he didn't fall down. I knew he wasn't taken down. And when the next four shots went off, he was already surrounded by a sea of navy blue, right? The Secret Service. And that's when the campaign advance guy's name was Michelle Picard. He's like, get down. And he tackled me into the ground because I still didn't get down. But, you know, because I was recording the rally, I have the entire thing. And because I was so close, I got most of the conversation between him and his Secret Service. It's all in the book. And I will tell you this part. What was really, you know, sometimes things end up being funny, not because it's funny, but because it's like absurd. President Trump's insistence that he gets his shoes on. And that's because they got knocked off when they surrounded him, when they put the protective stance around him. But he kept insisting. They wanted to go, and he kept insisting, I need to put my shoes on. And he could hear this one Secret Service agent, I believe it was a female, say, fine. Like, she was, like, so exasperated with him because he wanted to put his shoes on.
She is Selena Zito. If you want to hear the rest of that conversation, I would highly recommend you go buy the book. The book is called Butler. Selena, I think about that day, and I think about what we don't know still. Yeah. Not from your angle, obviously, but I have a lot of questions still. And I'm sorry, when I look at the things that happened in the wake of all that, my questions, well, I'll just put it to you this way. I'm suspicious, and I believe people in the government were involved. I don't know how you spray off that roof. I don't know how you cremate the body right away. These things are not done at any crime scene, let alone the attempted assassination of the Republican nominee for president. I'm very suspicious, and you know I'm not the conspiracy theory wingnut type. I look at the things around that day, and I think there are ugly elements at work here in this country.
I think there's a lot we don't know, and I think there's a lot we will end up knowing. But as the current administration peels back the layers of what happened, because I don't think everything can be hidden. And I will tell you this, having worked and talked with local law enforcement that were there that day, I am pretty certain they're talking right now and outlining what went wrong and everything that was treated wrong. And I think we will find out more in the next several months. But, you know, this was a striking moment in American history. And it's all the more striking by the amount of things that happened, to your point, that were not done during protocol, that were not done in the after effects. And there's too much hidden for it not to be peeled back and the full story being told.
Good. I look forward to that full story being told. Let me ask you I want to get to the electorate and what they're thinking about everything. Sorry, I guess I went on too long with this, but I just find the subject so fascinating. A man did lose his life that day.
Yeah.
And obviously we've seen his family, and we know that they've gone through hell. Have you spoken with them? Where are they?
Yes.
At?
Yes. I just saw his wife, Helen Compatore, and his daughter in Butler. They're okay, but you have to understand, I mean, I could see from the angle how bad he was shot. It was clear that he was not going to survive. And this family saw it right in front of themselves. Most people didn't. Someone immediately put a towel over his head. But it was a gruesome death. And this family will never be able to wipe those images from their face. The way the community has come around to them, you'll find out in the book what President Trump has done for them, has really been remarkable. And this family has really been embraced by the community of Butler, but also Western Pennsylvania and the entire country. Helen is doing okay, about as much as you can expect.
Yeah.
You add what happened to her in the public, plus all the attention that really hasn't gone away. That's a lot to ask for a regular person.
Yeah, it sure is. Selena, do you think you can stay on for one more so we can actually talk about how
Absolutely.
People are feeling about things? We will be right back with Selena Zito, author of the book Butler. Highly recommend you go pick it up. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, if you would like to email your love, hate, death threats, or anything else, you can email those in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And we are back with my friend Selena Zito. You already know her. You listen to this show, author of the book Butler. Okay, Selena, let's move off of that ugly topic and let's talk about how the public is feeling. Now, I know how my Republican friends are feeling. You travel the Rust Belt. You talk to normal people. I know there's been stock market up, stock market down, tariff in, tariff out, deportations. What are people feeling 100 days plus in about Trump?
They feel very good. I mean, I'm not trying to make a Pollyanna statement. Mm-hmm. People had a level of expectation of a lot of chaos, and not the way you think of as in a negative way, but in a way of reshuffling the way things have been prosecuted for the past 4 years, right? So that is going to cause uncertainty. But they have this belief that once the dust was settled, there might be a little pain, there might be a little hurt, that things would go in the direction of what they voted for, which has a lot to do. And first and foremost, it had to do with securing the border. It's very, very important to voters, and that's something that President Trump can crow about because he has done it. In terms of the tariffs, people also had a genuine understanding that this was going to be an open-air negotiations. And it wasn't going to look pretty at times. It was going to look great at times. But they believe at the end of the day, it is better for the country to have a level playing field as opposed to how lopsided it has been for almost 40 years.
Well, these are the people who've watched the Rust Belt become the Rust Belt. It was used to be the manufacturing belt, and it ain't anymore.
That's exactly right. And it's interesting because, this is the next generation. However, that legacy and culture and sense of place is still very, very rooted with young people from the Rust Belt. They know that their parents and their grandparents were done wrong. They know their towns and cities look the way that they do because they were done wrong. And because they are so rooted to place, they are willing to wait it out because they believe that, they believe that at the end of the day, it'll be better for the country. And what is really interesting to so many people is when they watch people whine and complain about some of the pinching and the hurting from the elites about the tariffs, they often say to me, to a person, well, where were they when our cities were crumbling? They didn't show up with cameras and ask us how our pain was, we're here and we're willing to wait because it's better for our country. It's better that we make our own things. It's better that we reshore manufacturing.
How about that? I'm really curious. Does Congress, whether it be Republicans or Democrats, House, Senate, I don't care, does it ever cross their lips or cross their minds? And if it does, are there praises? Are there criticisms? Because there's obviously a lot more than Donald Trump running the country.
Well, I think members of Congress, their biggest challenge in both parties is to have a better understanding of the people that they represent. There is this misnomer that happens among elected officials, and Jesse, you and I have talked about this numerous times, mm-hmm. that they go to Washington and they always say it'll never happen to them, and it happens to them, where they believe that they are representing their party and all the interests that support their party, which often aren't the interests or in conflict with the interests of the people they represent. And I think I am finding among Republicans, there is, and especially newly elected Republicans, there is an awakening of understanding that's not what people aren't going to tolerate that any longer. They've seen how it could be, even small glimpses, and they don't want any part of what has been the status quo.
Selena, what do they think? Just real quick, final question here. What do they think of Democrats, the party as a whole? Obviously, it's not what I think. Everyone knows what I think. I'm pretty honest about that. But are they forgotten? Are they hated? Where are they now?
Well, I went to out to Bucks County, Pennsylvania. It's on the other side of the state. You are pretty reliable Democrat county when it came to presidential elections, a mixed bag when it was local elections. Ruben Gaez had went out there, the Arizona senator, and I interviewed him. And I will tell you, Democratic voters who went to listen still struggle with their party and the party's message. And while you turn on the cable news and you think that they want the party's message to be, what's the Texas congresswoman's name? I can't think of it.
Jasmine Crockett.
Yeah. So cable news thinks that's what Democratic voters want. Trust me, it's not. It's not even close. They want more bipartisanship. They want their party to move to the middle, and they want their party to have a crisp message. There was an AP report poll that just came out 5 minutes before I came on the show today, and it is devastating for Democrats in terms of polling of Democrats in the middle of the country who are very unhappy with whatever they've been putting, the show they've been putting on since January.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, I guess that's the way the cookie crumbles. Selena Zito, she wrote that new book, Butler. Go pick up Butler up. Selena, I'm sure they can get it wherever. Where do you want people to buy this book?
Oh, right now it's on sale and on Amazon. And I will tell you, when you are an author that is not from D.C. and New York and writing about things we already figured out, it is very difficult to get booksellers to stock your book unless you have a good pre-sale. So I encourage people to get it now. And trust me, this is an extraordinary book. I don't usually brag about my stuff, but this is an extraordinary book that captures a moment in history, but also captures the campaign in a way that nobody was reporting on.
See, that's the difference between you and I, Selena. I love to brag about all my stuff. Selena Zito, the book is Butler. It's on sale. Go pre-order it. Amazon, I appreciate you very much. All right. We have hour two coming. Let's talk about corruption, shall we? Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.